Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat and hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of November 18th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Good tidings.
So, let's get right into it, guys. We have a ton of stuff to talk about. So, trailers that came out over the last week or so. Probably the biggest one is the first trailer for Noah, which is coming from, Darren Aronofsky.
You mean Evan Almighty 2?
Evan Almighty Begins.
which the sad part is I'm pretty sure people remember, like, that movie before thinking about the real Noah. Like, at least a young generation.
I think Noah's like a fairy tale now. That like that little
it's kids, culturally,
like, basically the little kids like learn about.
It's more of a cultural like story because the Chinese do not believe in this. I didn't know about the Great Flood until like I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. No one talks about it.
Yeah, man. My favorite way to sum it up is with Joe Rogan's bit about it from his Netflix special. Back in 2005, where he's basically saying you could explain the story of Noah to a severely retarded 10-year-old boy, and even he would have some questions about it. Like, it's just fucking brilliant. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend that you check it out. But, yeah, that's... I can't really say I'm interested in what they have to say.
Well, I mean,
especially when they hyped up the end of the trailer where it's like, oh, by the way, there's warriors and there's like fighting.
there's mandatory. It's like, well, it's a historical epic, so we have to have a mandatory battle in this.
Let's give him a sword.
In history, he's gonna fight somebody.
Yeah, it's like in a contract where it's like, hey, am I in space? No, okay, give me a goddamn weapon.
They should have had
fighting around
exactly.
The world.
It should have been.
Taga.
It should have just been a montage of him just like, instead of like the animals coming to him, he should be like going out and just like punching animals in the face and like dragging them back to the ark.
Subduing. Yeah. I would enjoy that story. You know, like, I would enjoy that
like,
version.
Noah goes up to an elephant and like punches in the face. And, like,
get in my fucking boat. You know, like that. I would
watch
that.
Yeah, that
would
be amazing. All you snakes. Get on my boat. Trying to bite my...
Just drunk, angry Russell Crowe hitting things like.
It's fucking rowdy as hell.
Inventing the TV, then throwing it out windows.
Where's a camel? I need a camel. I'm missing one donkey.
I'd be down. I'd be all for it.
Oh, hell yeah.
The special effects do look pretty ridiculous in this movie, though.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was really confused. It's like, it looks good, but then I'm like, this is a Christian movie, right? It has an all-star cast. It has really great effects for, like, something that came out of the Bible. And the story kind of makes sense where it's like, oh, I've got a vision. Let me build a boat. And people want to get out of my goddamn boat, you know? And it's dramatic because it's like, oh, bow to your king. It's like, ah, you're not my king. God's my king. Yeah, like... I'm gonna hang out Hermione in his boat.
It doesn't make sense that like some people would be like, "Hey, no, we gotta get in that fucking boat. You got plenty of room on there. Like, kill one of those like giraffes or something."
I just thought it was hilarious when I was like, "So why is Odin in this movie?"
Oh my god! Yeah, it's basically Anthopheles is basically Odin again.
Yeah, I'm just like, why are you doing this movie, Odin? Oh, I saw the vision. Like, no,
I'm going into Odin's sleep. Russell Crowe, you must build this boat.
This movie comes out, I'm putting it between, like, I'm confused. My I'm confusing my kids one day when I show them Thor and then I show them Avengers, where it's like before that, the prequel is Noah's Ark.
Be he worthy, like, he may build the Ark.
You see that hammer? That's Mimir.
Yeah, if Russell Crowe, like, picked up Mjolnir and just started smashing animals in the face with it, it'd be the greatest movie in the history of anything. Yeah, so that's coming out next March, I believe. Let me just double check.
Fuck yeah, Noah.
Tons of, like, there's going to be a ton of March movies for some reason. Like, summer kind of gets, like, it seems to be, like, getting, like, expanded out more and more. Because there's a lot of movies that, like, would probably be in the summer, but now they're in, like, March and April. So, anyway, moving on to other trailers. We got the trailer for the upcoming IFC miniseries, Spoils of Babylon, which is coming from Will Ferrell and Ed McKay. And it's a spoof parody of, like, these ridiculous, like, especially in the 80s, like, these ridiculous, like, event miniseries that a lot of people, like networks did. The one they keep, like, bring up all the time is, like, the Thornbirds. Which, like, this, like,
it's, like, episodic.
Like, decade-spanning story about, like, this family, and then, like, there's, like, double crosses and, like, affairs and, like, all sorts of ridiculous
stuff.
Yeah, it's
going to be over the top.
But, yeah, basically it's starring Tobey Maguire as, oh, God, what is it? He has an amazing name. It's like Darren
like
Rathbone or something.
Or whatever. It was something really crazy.
Devin Morehouse.
Morehouse.
Who is the son of, like, an oil tycoon, and then he, like, it's basically just following his life, and then he eventually goes to, like, some sort of, like, I don't know if it's, like, Vietnam or something, or Korea, but, and then he ends up in some sort of, like, weird, like, secret lab, and then there's, like, this whole crazy, like, black and white drug addiction section where he's, like, addicted to drugs and just, like, kick them. And then, like, Kristen Wiig is in it as his sister, and, Kelly
Possibly his lover. We don't know.
Jessica Alba, Val Kilmer,
Haley Joel Osment
is, like, his weird, like, rival. Tim Robbins is, like, the oil tycoon dad. So, yeah, it definitely looks amazing. Like, it's definitely kind of in the same vein, I think, of, like, Casa de Padre, where they're, like, trying to, like, parody, like, 60s, like, Mexican soap opera action movies, and then this one's, like, 80s miniseries.
I said that this reminds me of, like, a really well-produced version of Archie Haller,
yes.
Where it's just, like, crazy, like, left turns everywhere, and it's a giant soap opera that makes no fucking sense.
You know what it also feels like, too, from the same guy, Walk Hard.
Yeah,
yes.
One of the most underrated comedies ever.
Yes, definitely. Because it feels like it's gonna be like, because that movie just spanned like 50 years or something.
Yeah, basically a person's lifetime. Like, it starts with him as a baby.
Yeah,
like, it's great.
So I mean, that sort of like same like wide spanning time frame, and then this ridiculous things happen.
Dude, him covering Starman by David Bowie on that variety show is, like, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. Good movie.
I always love his, like, drug benders where he rips a sink out of a wall.
Damn it, Dewey!
What are you guys doing in here?
You know what? None of this
is addictive? No.
Damn it, Dewey. Don't do it.
Well, can you get sick from it? No. Alright, one more thing about Spoils of Babylon that I think is great is, like, it's quote-unquote based on, like, this series of books by, like, Eric Jeanrache, who is Will Ferrell. So it's like this fake book series they've made up. And I think they've been doing like weird, like in like libraries and like bookstores, they've been doing like this weird like viral marketing for it.
I was wondering about that. I was like, oh, it's like someone's Erica Von Rasch's The Spoils of Babylon. Yeah. I was like, that sucks if someone actually wrote this years ago. And then they convert it into, like, a comedy version where it's like, you ruined my work by, like, taking everything that's supposed to be dramatic and making it, like, a comedy.
I remember watching the teaser trailer for it, and it was, like, it was just, like, the book. And it was just, like if you guys ever seen, like, those, like, weird, like, book trailers that they do, which is, like, the book, and they're, like reading reviews about it. Like, that was, like, the original teaser trailer for this is, like, just, like, the back of the book. It's, just, like, Will Ferrell with, like, ridiculous 80s hair. So it's going to be on IFC in January, so. They would have no restrictions, because, like, IFC is uncut. Like, if you watch any movies or anything on IFC, it's always just, like, completely uncut.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, other than, like, commercials, like, it's just fucking, like, watching the DVD.
And, I mean, pretty much everything, like, all the original stuff on IFC has been pretty great as well. Like, Portlandia and...
The increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret. Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a chance to check out the Birthday Boys yet.
Me either.
Nope, didn't see that yet.
So, moving on. A couple of full trailers came out for some movies we saw teaser trailers for. Need for Speed got a full trailer. Mm-hmm. Did you guys watch that one?
Yep.
I still don't understand like why it is so goddamn deadly serious.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure myself. So
it's like
it doesn't look bad. It's just so serious. Generic? Yeah, like yes. Yes, generic.
It's like
for
they realize that Fast 7's coming out in like 2 months after it.
Right. So like, let's just fucking haul ass.
Yeah.
Get this thing out.
Like, there probably won't be a lot of like hand to hand fighting.
No.
Or gunfighting. No. Which, if you think about in the original Fast and Furious, there's like one scene that has that, and the rest of it was like racing and then crashing. Mm-hmm. This movie's all about crashing.
Well, it's a cross-country race, so...
It's basically
the plot of Need for Speed, The Run.
I thought you were going to say the Wacky Racers, but yeah.
The Cannonball Run.
That's a close second.
Where's Jackie Chan in this movie?
I think... Is he in Cannonball 1 or 2?
I think 2.
They're all the same.
Yeah, it's just... Like, you're a street racing movie based on a video game. It's like, you're not, you're not 12 Years a Slave or, like, There Will Be Blood or something, or some, like, deadly serious movie. You're, like, you're a video game movie.
The soundtrack makes it seem like it does.
Oh, my God. At least they got rid of that ridiculous, like, voiceover for the first trailer where, like, Aaron Paul was just like, "Vengeance will be mine. Oh. I will have my revenge, and you will see them driven before me.
I will go really fast in my car."
Yeah.
Okay.
So it definitely does look like the game, though. Like, I think it was the first, like, the early 2000s, like, not the most recent Most Wanted, but, like, the original Most Wanted. Like, there was, like, that level that was, like, in, like, the, like, Redwood Forest. It was, like, this, like...
I don't remember that.
It was, like, super, super, like, forested track. And definitely, like, there's definitely parts in the movie... This movie looks exactly like that. I don't know, I just... In like, the post-Fast 5 world, I don't know...
Yeah.
I don't know how this movie...
You can't go back to just fast car movies.
If The Rock isn't, like, jumping off of, like, a building and, like, pile-driving someone, like, I don't...
What are you doing?
So that's coming out in March as well. Also coming out in March, Muppets Most Wanted, which they got a new trailer today. Either you guys see that one?
Yep.
It looks pretty great. They're following the classic Muppets trilogy formula of now it's of because the second Muppets movie was The Great Muppet Caper. So it's basically kind of the same exact plot of this for Muppets Most Wanted.
Was there another double in The Great Muppet Caper?
There was something, I can't remember who it was, but like there was something about like there was like identity switching or something in that one. I think it might have been Miss Piggy in the original one.
I think it might have been Miss Piggy too.
Because like Charles Grodin was like
in love with Miss Piggy,
and then they thought she was like a thief or something, like a diamond thief or something.
Yeah, but turned out to be like. It was about all the human characters are basically it.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead, Chris.
No, I felt like this was that. I felt like I've seen this movie before, but I don't mind watching it again, the updated version of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Muppets Most Wanted, there is an evil Kermit clone named Constantine, who is he's identical to Kermit, except he has, a horrible...
A mole
and a horrible French accent. And so, he tricks Kermit into kidnaps Kermit and then Kermit gets locked up in a Russian gulag by Tina Fey and then Constantine takes over the Muppets and then they're going on a European tour with Ricky Gervais and I think it's basically a front for Constantine to start pulling heists in these different cities.
What's Ricky Gervais is something bad
it's
guy.
It's bad guy.
It's French.
It's it's Bad Guy. It's French. And all the Muppets were like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then, Ty Burrell from Modern Family and Sam the Eagle are, a pair of, Interpol agents chasing them. So, it looks as fun as the first movie. Definitely. There's gonna be some insane cameos as usual. I think Tom Hiddleston is gonna be some escape artist magician, and Zach Galifianakis is back as Hobo Joe or whatever his name was.
Of all the characters bring back, they bring back the hobo.
Yeah, I just hope 80s Robot is back.
Oh, he has to be. I mean, I hope.
And obviously, Walter is back, because he's a Muppet now, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank God they don't need to do the whole, introduce a new character and have him be, invertly the main hero. So now it's just, full-on Muppet antics, hopefully.
I think a lot of people were mentioning it, but, the best part of this trailer was, when Constantine was, watching old Muppet Show videos to, try to, figure out how to be Kermit. So it's hi ho, Kermit the Frog here, and then Constantine's like, hey, give me a freak. And they're like, and everyone's just like, what is wrong with Kermit?
And then the editor's like, oh, it's how long did it take you to figure it out that it wasn't me? It's something.
There's also Great Bits, I think Fozzie puts his finger over the mole. It's it was exactly the Two-Face joke that Pete Holmes did for Batman, where it's Fozzie comes out with the mole and is like, oh, look, it's a picture of Kermit. And then, he takes his finger off and is like, oh my god, what'd you do with Kermit?
Harvey.
Scary face. So that's coming out in March 2. March jam-packed with stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we don't really know, we know what's coming out in 2015, but I'm trying to figure out what's coming out in summer next year. Besides Guardians of the Galaxy, it's the only thing we know that's coming out.
The only thing that's coming out.
I think isn't Transformers 4 coming out next year?
I would guess it is. Basically... I mean, what isn't coming out next year?
It's super weird though, cause Cap is April. Cap 2 is April.
Mm.
Oh, there's Amazing Spider-Man 2. Godzilla, yep.
Yeah.
X-Men Days of Future Past. Yeah, that Transformers 4, Fast and Furious 7, both Hercules movies, the new Ninja Turtles, Expendables 3. Yeah, it seems like it should be a solid summer next year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be no 2015, but...
No.
So, anyway, moving on to other stuff. There's some pretty big news in the Bond universe this past week, because apparently, kind of like a decades-old rights battle got settled, finally, where Eon, which is the company that owns Bond and like does all the Bond movies, they finally got the rights back to use Blofeld and Spectre as characters in the... in Bond movies.
Really? I didn't think that was a legal problem just to refer to them.
Well, apparently the rights... So is the, if you watched like the Everything or Nothing documentary or just like watched like if you knew stuff about Bond, there was that other guy who was like originally one of the producers. Like I think his name was like... Let me look it up. I think it's Kevin McCord. He like kind of like joined in early on and then... There's this whole legal thing, and that's why we got, like, Thunderball and Never Say Never Again. Like, and then, or, like, because, like, basically, like, there was this, like, especially Thunderball, like, the rights to that movie were, like, really confused. And so, like, there was, like, this weird legal battle where, like, they were going back and forth between Kevin McCord and like, the other people who owned, like, the Bond stuff. Like, some of them, like, they own certain things, and he owns certain things, and, like, he owns certain rights, and they own certain rights, but now, I guess, Kevin, like, he passed away in, like, 2006, and I guess his family finally settled up, they came to, like, an agreement with, Kevin McClory is his name. So, but yeah, they kind of got a deal with Eon, so now, if they want to, they can have Blofeld and Spectre in a Daniel Craig Bond movie. Which would be pretty awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. But it sucks that they went to someone to die, you know, to get
and
something.
And that's why they were trying to do that whole, like, horrible Quantum thing, because they couldn't use Spectre.
Hey, Quantum wasn't that bad as a concept. It was the most complicated, convoluted, like, yes. Society, which then just, like, ended, yeah. You know? Just like, okay,
it's
we're
like,
done.
We
like,
killed that...
We better dissolve
we killed
this.
That one, we yeah. killed that one guy.
The, like, very low-tier guy. He wasn't, like, high
yeah,
enough.
The guy who wanted to steal water. That's the guy you killed. And then
we killed. And then we just stopped it. Like, apparently everyone just kind of turned around and went, okay,
like,
no more Quantum.
Oh, dear God, he stopped our water scheme. What are we going to do? Bond is unstoppable.
And what about Mr. White? No clue what happened
He's just,
to him?
Like, in a hole somewhere.
Just biding his yeah. time.
Maybe he got out when, like, Javier Bardem escaped and, like, brought down, like, the entire MI6 computer network.
Which,
Oh, you mean when it stopped being Skyfall and when it cut to, like, 20 minutes of The Dark Knight and then just went back to being Skyfall yep. again?
Whatever happened to that list of agents that got leaked to the YouTube?
They leaked to YouTube. Well, they killed a bunch
and
of
then
them,
it's just,
though, right?
A lot of the agents died, yeah. And then that was. But they saw like other list, and that was the point. Like, it was a lot of compromised agents, and they just forgot. Like,
don't forget the fact that Q should have been fired, literally on the spot for not being able to stop that hack from happening,
or for plugging in a like an enemy laptop.
Yeah, well, that as like, well. That as well.
Oh, right, Chip, let me just put it in his laptop.
It's like, you're barely above an IT guy. Like, what the fuck are you yeah. doing?
Go back to your Doctor Who convention, nerd.
Yeah, pretty much. Nice cardigan.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be, if they got like a really awesome like actor to play Blofeld, that would probably be amazing.
Brian Cranston.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brian Cranston for everything.
Shave your head again. What? Shave it.
You knew what this was.
Get out of my territory, Bond. See my name. Blofeld. Ah.
And then he gets strapped down like a smokestack in a wheelchair.
Or gets suffocated in mud. I think Blofeld's died like 3 times, I think.
Well, I think that last one, which I can't remember which Roger Moore movie it was, but like the one where he got strapped out of smokestack, they didn't explicitly say it was Blofeld, but it was obvious that it was Blofeld.
I think that was I think that was Diamonds Are Forever.
No, because when he killed him in the mud, that was Diamonds Are Forever. That was the last Connery movie, which is like, well, we gotta finish up Blofeld this movie, or else we're never gonna be able to do it with Connery.
We're gonna have a lot of questions.
So, anyway, moving on to other news. FX ordered a new show coming sometime in the near future. It's based on Guillermo del Toro's vampire books that he wrote, The Strain.
The Creepies.
Which let me double check. I think there was like a couple, like he wrote, it's a trilogy of books. Actually it'll be out in the summer of next year, so July, on FX.
Yeah,
and
I support GDT,
and it's kind of a little bit different than typical vampire because it's like it's a virus that it turns people into vampires. So actually, wasn't that like the plot of like that Daybreakers movie?
Didn't you see Daybreakers?
I saw Daybreakers. I just can't remember if it was a virus or not.
Well, they cured it vampirism with like super reverse AIDS.
Well, is this like?
Super reverse AIDS.
It's just like.
Sounds technical.
It's like, if you crash your car and like fly through the sun for a certain amount of time, then you can you cure vampirism.
I thought they locked you in a. I thought it was like.
That's how Willem Dafoe figured out how to cure vampirism. He's like, he crashed his car and like flew across like a lake in the sun, and then like when he crashed, like he was in the sun for a certain amount of time, and then that's what cured him.
You figure for a vampire, any time you're in the sun is a bad time to be in the sun.
It was something weird. It was like the sun like turns back on their blood flow or something, or something with some weird mumbo jumbo science thing they came up with. Like, oh,
they it's just like Superman certain, science where it's like yeah, just like the
if you're,
radiation.
If you're in the sun too long, then you obviously you blow up. But if you're in the sun for a specific amount of time, then you cure vampirism.
Then you blow up. It's weird. It's like, oh, drink this vial of, like, sulfuric acid, where, like, if you drink too much, you die. If you drink just the right amount, you become immortal?
What is that from, Chris?
I'm just saying, it's like the same concept for a vampire. Yeah. It's like, oh, if you eat, like, a gallon full of mercury, like, you'll be fine. But, like, if you eat, like, 2 gallons, you'll die. Like, what?
So, yeah, excuse me, 13 episodes. Carlton Hughes, who co-ran Lost... is going to be running the show. And it's going to be out in July next summer on FX. I'll definitely check it out, especially if it's Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's less American Horror Story and more like Blade or something.
Blade, the show.
Well, like Blade 2, because that's what Guillermo del Toro obviously directed that movie, so...
Oh yeah, I forgot he did.
Actually, speaking of FX, FXX paid $750 million for the rights to the Simpsons syndication rights. So they're going to be the cable network that has access to all 25 seasons of Simpsons.
Yeah, that's pretty huge.
I thought CW had a showing of The Simpsons too.
Well, I think there's a ton of...
I think I've seen it on the CW at like 4 in the morning before, but...
Well, I mean, there's a ton of like local networks that have syndicated Simpsons.
Yeah.
But right now it's like the newer stuff, so it's like maybe like a season or two back they can air. This like this deal is like
this is every, like the catalog. It's like Michael Jackson buying the Beatles catalog.
They're gonna I don't know if they're gonna start out with just like season one, episode one, just start running it, but
I don't know, but what is more interesting to me is that they are going to have their FXX app.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which also offers streaming content and is apparently going to have everything.
Yeah,
like, it might not be all at the same time, but you very well may be able to watch
any
the
Simpsons episode you want, any time you want.
Right, like whatever, or even if it's not whatever whatever episode you want, like they might have, okay, we have seasons like 1 through 3 are streaming for the next like month. You know, unless they just go totally HBO Go, where they're like, yeah, we have it and you can watch it, which would be fucking incredible. Yeah. That would be really great. But even if they did one season at a time, like just be able to sit there and like every couple of weeks, like binge a Simpsons season, like that would be awesome for someone like me who is like super not into buying all those seasons. Mm-hmm. And not because I don't love the show, but I was like, man, I just don't have the cash or the patience to like accrue this this wealth of discs. Yeah.
You know, 5 minutes to change a disc out over how many like 11 seasons adds to like an hour of just disc changing.
Years of your life gone.
Changing discs. I find it kind of weird though that like FXX is like a Fox company and they still have to pay like
$750 million. Goddamn dollars. Yeah, that's really
that's weird.
Like, I'm not a business lawyer or anything, but like that seems kind of weird that you're like you're your own company.
Well,
if if USA had to pay like NBC like $500 million for like I don't know some show.
Well, it's like when NBC Universal Fuse and Conan could just like reference Walker shit. I'm pretty sure it didn't cost them that much money. It probably like was just like a sistering fee, you know, where it's like, oh, it's a sister network, so here's like something, you know, like I didn't expect a deal between each like association.
Yeah, I don't know.
That seems like they decided like, oh, we're just gonna keep it in house and show it on FXXX.
So they initially just paid themselves.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure it's some sort of weird tax write-off thing or like some weird like business spreadsheets. So, bunch of other TV news this week as well. Sci-Fi is going to have a Beowulf show.
Yeah, just in time for that Beowulf rise again.
Yeah, Beowulf is so hot right now. I wonder if this is a response to, like, Vikings on History Channel, because that was a pretty big show last year.
I don't think anyone knows that Vikings is a show.
It was, like, one of the number one cable shows last year.
It just had terrible marketing now.
I don't know if I believe that. I believe that it was the number one, like, History Channel show. But I don't know, man. I think it was good. I'm just saying, I've never once heard anyone be like, did you see Vikings last night?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, like, I don't think it was in the public consciousness.
No. But, I mean, listen, I hope it does well. I mean, we're big fans of it here, so. And it's pretty brutal, too, which is nice.
Yeah, like we said, like Chris said, it's like PG-13 Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's also, like, I mean, part of the reason Game of Thrones is, you know, so mature is just because they're showing dicks every 4 seconds. But, like, you know, with this, it's more like the content and like the war and that kind of shit, which is pretty cool. It's not like they're showing like the Vikings all like living in a fucking like tree hut together, like getting along, having a great time. Like Keebler elves, no. They were fucking Vikings. That's right.
The problem with the whole like conspiracy gold religion thing, that part was like a little too much for me.
Well, it is a history show, so they probably have to, like, throw in some sort of, like, weird historical curveballs.
No, actually, the historical parts are kind of good. The weird, like, let's make this, like extend the, like, the some of the plot twists. Like, this is stupid.
Yeah, like, Gabriel Byrne was, like, just super evil, like, murdering children and stuff.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, I'm a badass evil guy. Let me show how much evil
and, like,
I can
weird, be. Like, his weird, like, bald assistant who just, like, murdered people for...
Yep. And then hiding gold and, like, burying it. I was like, okay. Oh, this part's the historic Acro part. I think they just, this part's like the intern had a chance to write something.
Drama. Yeah, so I guess Beowulf show, I guess it's going to be more like, I guess, like, the rise of Beowulf and, like, his battles with Grendel and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
Appropriate response, I guess.
That's what they're doing, all right.
So you mean Beowulf was a historically accurate, like, tale?
Oh, probably.
They should have done, like, an Eaters of the Dead series. Or, like, 13th Warrior.
Yeah.
Which I think was kind of like... That was Michael Crichton's weird, like... It was inspired by Beowulf.
Like, if Beowulf had, like, a lawyer, like, an intellectual property lawyer, they would sue the hell out of 13 Warrior.
Because I remember it had, like, this weird, like, this is from the documents found in, like, Abdullah ibn Fabin's, like, documents. Like, he's trying to make it seem like it was, like, this, like, historical document that was found. That just happened to be, like, the Beowulf story, only with, like, Antonio Banderas going in with Vikings.
I totally remember that part in Scandinavian history where they teamed up with a Muslim guy and they fought, like, monsters.
Bear monsters.
Bear monsters.
My favorite part of that movie is, like, that scene where, like, he just learns Viking speech in, like, 5 minutes by, like, just listening to it.
And they get pissed.
He's like, oh, I know your language now.
So now I can insult you?
No, we don't need subtitles. So, and then also, there is a CW, a couple things coming up from them. They said, so, I think it's been like 2 or 3 weeks, there's going to be the introduction of the Flash on Arrow. And it was eventually going to be two episodes where, like, Barry Allen shows up to investigate this crime that kind of came from Central City to Starling City. And then he was, like, in the last, like, third episode, he was going to turn into the, like, show up as the Flash on Arrow. Now they're saying it's going to be just, if they're just going to break it off, it's going to be a full-on just Flash pilot episode.
As it should be.
I mean, I kind of like their whole CSI approach of introducing, like, another set and then kind of breaking off again. Do you remember that was the formula to how they made CSI show spinoffs?
So they made CSI Miami because they went to Miami.
Yeah, same with New York.
And it's like, here are these characters that all of you, like, you should immediately know.
CSI in space.
So it's kind of cool, because I think that was the original concept, which we talked about years ago, about Smallville, where it's like, this is going to introduce everything else.
Nope.
They did jack. They did nothing.
They definitely have, I think they definitely have a stronger sense of what they're doing with Arrow, though.
Yeah, you're slowly becoming a big fan of it.
I watched the entire first season now. And it's like, it is insane to me, like, how much better, like, just on every level, it is, like, 10 times better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it probably has, like, a quarter of the budget.
That's such a backhanded assault against S.H.I.E.L.D. Because it's like, oh, hey, this, you know, this didn't need, like, a super movie to, like, follow up on. This is its own thing, and it's doing so well.
Like, third episode, what'd you have, S.H.I.E.L.D.? Weird scientist who's kind of sort of this, like, C-list Marvel villain. Who's on Arrow? Oh yeah, Deadshot.
Like right from the get-go, practically, too.
See, I was hoping for that for S.H.I.E.L.D., and then once I realized I'm not seeing anyone I recognize on that show, I just kind of stopped watching.
Did you guys watch the Thor episode? That was on last night?
Nope. I haven't seen past the third episode,
they built it up as, like, find out what happens after Thor! And it's just, like, they're literally in the Thor set for, like, maybe 5 minutes, and it's just like, oh, man, why do we have to pick up this, garbage that Thor left? Like, they're literally picking through the garbage of the final battle of Thor. And then episode like kicks off with like this completely different random thing that is they say it's Asgardian, but it has nothing to do with Thor or anything. It's just this random Asgardian artifact that they're trying to go find.
Check out, we hang out with Asgardian garbage. Yeah.
And not even anyone from Thor even shows up. It's like they say Thor's name a bunch of times. It's like, oh man, I wish Thor was here.
Man, I hope
he'd know what's here. So
we go see. Hey, we should go see Thor with Thor to see Thor Dark World.
Like they came and bothered to have like Kat Dennings show up or something.
Some sort of fourth string character.
They have like Stellan Skarsgård show up with no pants on again or something.
Or Hawkeye show up. Hey, what's up? And like leaves. Hawkeye should show up. He's not doing anything. Yeah. He ain't getting his own fucking movie.
Yeah, so, I mean, if that's what we're going to do with crossover episodes, like, I don't know what S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing. I feel like if they're going to do something with Arrow, like, it'd probably be a lot better. Like, if they want to do, like, some sort of Batman-Superman setup or something, or, like, just have that... If it's in the same universe or something, it seems like it would be a lot better. Because it kind of already feels like... It feels like it's already in, like, the Nolan universe a little bit.
But, as S.H.I.E.L.D., what we just talked about, it seems like they literally just play in, like, their leftover sets, and that's their crossover.
Yeah. It's like, all right, you guys can come in here for 5 minutes and do whatever you gotta do and just get out of here.
That's not cooperation. That's terrible.
And they haven't had any like Marvel characters at all in the show. It's like, here's Flame Guy, here's random terrorists,
here's not Luke Cage,
here's a single black father and his son, and we shot him a couple times.
Like, you could make like a list of like characters that showed up in Arrow, and then the characters who showed up in S.H.I.E.L.D., and it'd be like 15 characters in Arrow, and then be two characters in S.H.I.E.L.D. with, like, a question mark next to one of them. It's, like, Graviton and then, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. person?
And possibly Aunt May? Like, really weird non-superpowered heroes?
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, last week they did have, like, Victoria Hand, who's, like, this super, like, C-level S.H.I.E.L.D. person. Because they went to like one of the big like S.H.I.E.L.D. bases last episode, the hub.
Well, it sounds thrilling.
Yeah, it's weird because like there's so much potential that it's just like, oh, if I keep watching it, it'll get good, but then it's just like it's not getting good. But anyway, also coming to CW is there's going to be a new Tales from the Dark Side.
Ooh.
Which, either you guys watch that show or seen episodes of that show?
Yes, here and there.
I believe George Romero was part of the original show. Like, he helped create it.
That sounds vaguely familiar, actually.
But this one is coming from Kurtzman Orsi, who... They wrote Star Trek, both Star Trek, they wrote the Transformers, all sorts of other stuff. So, it's a... I guess it's coming out next summer. It's going to be like just anthology horror show like it was before. It's actually one of the help people creating it too is going to be Joe Hill, who wrote Lock and Key, the comic. Have you guys read that comic?
Mm-hmm.
No.
have not.
It's super awesome. It's like a really creepy horror comic. Like these keys that can like have different powers. Like there's a key that like turns you invisible, and the key that like lets you open up your mind and tape things out and stuff. It's all in this like weird house that this family moves into. Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen like a couple episodes of Tales from Darkseid. It's not really. It's definitely like a second tier anthology show. I think like you have like Twilight Zone, and you have like Tales from the Crypt, and then you have like Outer Limits, and then you have like Tales from Darkseid with like a bunch of other like weird anthology shows, like Freddy's Nightmares or something.
Ah, don't get me started. What a show.
So, last bit of news for this week is that Mission Impossible 5 is going to be coming in Christmas 2015.
Ah, the classic holiday movies.
Like, ho ho ho!
The week after Star Wars Episode 7.
Jesus, yep. Really? Well, that's either a good thing or a bad thing. Because it's like, oh, wash out that horrible taste of terrible Star Wars with Miro, a spy movie. And then, or it's like, okay, like, Star Wars, like, dominated the market and changed the world now.
There's going to be no money left for...
Yeah, everyone threw money at Star Wars, and no one has money for anything else anymore. We don't need a sequel. This did it. This is the only movie you need to watch.
So, Tom Cruise is back. Obviously, as Ethan Hunt. I think Simon Pegg is also confirmed back as well. Christopher McQuarrie is going to be directing it, and he directed Jack Reacher.
Oh, good.
So it's definitely going to be Tom Cruise is Awesome, the movie, part two.
Tom Cruise knows everything.
Let me smell this crime scene so I can figure out what happened here. Let me turn on my Cruise senses.
Let me seduce every woman in a two-block radius. Yes.
And then, like, drive this car like a professional race car driver.
Let me somehow convince stamp passerbyers who watch me, like, run away from the cops, just accept me.
He's clearly being chased by the cops.
Don't tell them it's me.
They just nod to each other like, I got you, brother.
You know what? He's all right.
He's cool. He likes the Yankees. He's cool.
I didn't get that. Okay, let's go back. That scene pisses me off in the sense where, like, people just
like he hit jumped him. Like middle of the street, like no other cars, so like, there's like no way you can miss him getting out of the car, and just the car is like he jumps out of the car is still moving, and he like walks off, and then like millions of cop cars drive past, chasing that car. It's like, huh? I wonder if they're after that guy.
And then we just hit him, and it's like, I hope you didn't murder anyone, like. That's why the city has shit crime, because it's like doesn't get reported.
Yeah.
No wonder it was like the most ideal target to get like the whole conspiracy thing to happen. It's because the citizens don't give a shit.
They're gonna build like a mall or something. Werner Herzog's gonna build a mall and then let it abandon it.
Yeah, well, it's like it was a tragic shooting, but like your own city, like what do you think? If your city is known for such a tragedy, wouldn't you think you'd be more high alert about people that commit crimes? You know, like, yet they just totally accept this. What if Jack Reacher was the villain and these citizens don't know? They just fucking hit him. I don't know. That again, nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's like that pissed me off so much.
Hopefully nothing like that will happen in Mission Impossible 5.
I was actually okay if Ethan Hunt didn't come back and they had like a new agent and they just continue at the MI.
Taking over everything.
Yeah, what happened in that deal? I thought that was the concept.
That was the deal. Like, they had that. It was like, if Tom Cruise came back, fine. Awesome. He'll be Ethan Hunt still. If Tom Cruise decided he didn't want to come back, then it's like, well, we got Jeremy Renner now, so. Maybe Jeremy Renner, like, get some chems and, like, jumping off like a. I don't know what they do, 'cause they climb the highest building in the world now. I don't know where they go from here.
the lowest building in the world.
Like, they go like into like the Marianas Trench or something. Ethan has like free dive into like the trench.
And he's fought basically like almost every like national villain besides maybe Russians and British people. Because he's fought.
Hopefully, Americans. IMF is like trusts him this movie and like doesn't get like destroyed like in the Ghost Protocol.
Oh, like where every movie like, besides two.
Yeah.
Every movie besides two, they don't trust him.
It's like, oh, put out an APB for Ethan Hunt. He's a rogue agent.
Whatever happened to freaking Lawrence Fishburne? Whatever happened to Anthony Hopkins?
Whatever happened to, well, I think Anthony Hopkins is like retired or something. But yeah, like what happened to like the IMF of like Mission Impossible 3? Where like Lawrence Fishburne was running it and like Tom Cruise was like training agents. Yeah.
They totally forgot that error. I don't know.
Ghost Protocol.
Like, I do kind of like the idea of every movie they switch teams. Like, there's just new members. Yeah. So. But I do like Simon Pegg's character, so I don't know. It's a conflict.
It's over for Finger Ames. Because Finger Ames was their gadget guy, computer guy.
Yeah.
I thought it was a solid team last movie.
Yeah, I liked
like
it.
Well, like, two didn't even have a team. It's just, like, Tom Cruise and, like...
Vin Rhames and the pilot.
Yeah. But then I mentioned just turned to, like, Tom Cruise, like, defying physics. And, like, John Woo, like, just exploded, like, John Woo craziness.
It's John Woo's weird American action movie that he's always wanted to make.
Well, I mean, that was, like, his fourth American movie, though. Or, like, third American movie. Because he made Hard Target, Face Off, and then Mission Impossible 2.
Really? Was that one?
It's a beautiful resume.
And then, like, Paycheck and Windtalkers and...
Not so much.
I forgot he did Paycheck.
For the paycheck.
Oh. No.
Ben Affleck was getting a paycheck in that movie.
Yes, he was.
So, anyway, I think that's it for news. Not sure anything else you guys can think of that we can talk about. Oh, there was breaking news that Mad Max Fury Road is going to be out in the summer of 2015, as if it wasn't crowded enough.
Yeah, I don't think we have enough stuff coming out then.
So, May 2015, Mad Max with Tom Hardy.
Bean begins.
Yes. I'll drive that tanker. So, anyway, let's get to the new genres of the week, and our pick of the week is, speaking of Simon Pegg, The World's End.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's really hard, I'm still trying to figure out, like, if World's End or This is the End was the best comedy of this year. They're so close to each other. And they're both, like, super different, because, like, World's End is kind of more,
serious.
A little more serious, and also, like, the concept is, like, kind of crazier and more, like... Because, like, This is the End is, like, just those guys hanging out, and it just happens to have the apocalypse occurring. Because the World End is more, like, it's, like, just crazy sci-fi insanities happening. But, yeah, definitely if you haven't seen World's End yet, and you're a fan of, like, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, like, you should definitely just go out and watch World's End as soon as you can. Also have Planes out this week.
Hey, you want to see a family-friendly Dane Cook comedy? Which I never thought a decade ago would be
a thing. Disney, like, foolishly thought people would want to see in theaters and not direct-to-DVD.
That was the weird maneuver.
It made no money.
Yeah. Really?
But they're like, oh, whatever the fuck Dane Cook's character's name is, it's like Dusty McSprocket or something. He's like, he'll be back in Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
Really? They say that? Like at the end of this movie?
It's like a Bond style of like Dusty whatever will be back in this Planes, Fire, and Rescue movie.
That's really shitty because
it's also the same exact plot as Turbo. Which, like, I'm a usually slow thing, but now I'm fast. I want to race.
And, like, didn't they learn from Cars 2 that people slowly stop, like, caring about cars, the vehicles that talk, that aren't Transformers? And it's funny that they had to wait, like, a decade for Dane's Cook career to kind of be on, like, a break, where they just couldn't scoop him up and put him in family-friendly stuff.
Yeah, because the world was clamoring for that, right? The world was clamoring for Dane Cook in family comedies. So, anyway, also this week we have Two Guns. Denzel Washington, Mark Wahlberg. Awesome buddy cop action movie. I don't think any of you guys have seen that yet, right?
No, but I look forward to seeing it very much.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. I watched it. I saw it like probably a couple weeks after it came out, so I didn't put a review up. But I'd probably give it like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, it's at the top of my queue. Netflix won't be getting it till the 17th, so we'll see what happens.
Also, have We're the Millers out this week.
I haven't seen it
yet, but I'll probably check it out sometime before the end of the year. It was at the movie theater that I work at for like probably 3 months, if not more. Like, I feel like we just got rid of it like a week ago.
It's entirely possible.
It's like we're the Millers and the Conjuring for like 3 months. We have Star Trek Next Generation Unification, which is another of their, like, they've been doing like these like editing like two-parters in the movies. And, like, this is one where, like, Leonard Nimoy showed up as Spock, and it was some crazy, like, Spock is missing plot. And then, like, Picard and the Enterprise had, like, go find him. And also, just full-on season 5 of Star Trek Next Generation is out this week, too.
The whole series came out already.
I don't... Because they just started doing it on Blu-ray, like, a year ago or so. Night of the Comet is out this week on Blu-ray.
Classic.
And also, Assault on Precinct 13, the original John Carpenter movie, is on Blu-ray this week as well.
Ooh.
Maniac Cop 2 and 3 are on Blu-ray this week.
Finally.
I never understood why they don't do all of them. They always do the weird combo where it's like, 1 and 3, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
2 and 3 are owned by different people. Mm-hmm.
Also have Paranoia out this week, one of the worst opening movies of the year. I think it only got beat by The Fifth Estate as, like, the worst opening of the year.
Nice. Well, we all can't be the Yugi lover, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst opening of all time. It was just the worst opening of the year. Lost Girl Season 3 is out this week. Weird sci-fi show. WWE, the history of WWE is out this week on Blu-ray.
It's just a picture of Vince McMahon, like, pointing at you.
I did this.
Tank Girl, collector's edition, is on Blu-ray this week.
Oh my god.
A really weird, like, it was not marketed as, like, hey, this was a comic, which is like, Tank Girl, see it now!
Yeah. Ice-T.
Yeah, what a bizarre movie.
Yeah, Ice-T is a kangaroo. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, right when Ice-T was coming off of gangster rapping, and then it was just like, oh, but dressed like a kangaroo and hit on a girl.
Yeah, that was, like, right after the body count controversy. It was, like, cop killer and then kangaroo killer. I don't know.
He was in a bunch of weird movies around that time.
Yes. Yes, he was.
So that's it for new releases this week. So I'll get into show and tell. And Joe, see I'm virtually raising your hand.
Well, I only saw one thing, and I'm very opinionated about it. I saw The Purge, and fuck, man, that was awful. It was just really, really bad. Like, I see what they were trying to do, and I appreciate what they were trying to do, but it was just like, to me, it failed as a satire or a commentary about, like, how detached our, like, morality has become and how, like, in for ourselves we are. Like, I understand that they were trying to go, like, all George Romero on us and try to do, like, you know, the metaphorical overtones and all that
stuff. We are so desensitized to violence.
Yes, we are so desensitized to violence, and we are in such a rat race that we can't make time for our own children. Like, come on, man. Like, it was just bad news. I mean, the whole movie, I was watching with my girlfriend, and I said to her, like, 20 minutes into it, which is just brutal to get through that 20 minutes of, like, expository bullshit, because you don't care about any of these characters. I was basically like, is it bad that we haven't even met, like, the bad guys yet, but I'm already rooting for them? Like, it's one thing to be, like, rooting for Jason or, like, Freddy Krueger when you go to see a Jason or a Freddy Krueger movie. But, like, Jesus Christ, like, you shouldn't be rooting for, like, no-name killers, like, that are basically expendable, you know, and, like, cannon fodder. And this is just another installment in a rich tradition of never be related to Ethan Hawke movies. You know, following the proud legacy of such greats as Insidious.
Sinister. Apparently also Getaway.
Yeah.
Which is a movie that came out this year that no one knows or remembers.
Pretty much, I would highly recommend that you skip this movie.
I thought the world was kind of cool. Like, the future America, we're like, with the weird new founding fathers and stuff. Like, I definitely want to see, like, more of that in the sequel.
Well, here's the thing. I think that it was, like, it was so underdeveloped. Like, it wasn't, like, I feel like for the amount that they spoke about these new founding fathers and, like, what caused America to change and the fact that they've changed, like, they don't set up any of it, but they just, like, keep beating you over the head with it. So, to me, that's even more offensive. Because they're basically saying they're sequel baiting.
They keep doing the new, like, Pledge of Allegiance, basically, which is, like, God bless the new founding fathers and, like, God bless the Purge or something.
Yeah, listen, it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Because, you know what, if you're going to include that in a movie, like, it's one thing to be mysterious and kind of, like, touch on it. But it's another thing to just totally sequel bait people, because they're like, oh, hopefully we'll get a sequel and then we'll be able to explain this shit.
Meet new founding fathers or something.
Ooh, I hope so. Gee whiz, that would be great. And honestly, like, what the fuck could there possibly be to do in the sequel to The Purge? Let me guess. It happens again. It's the next year's Purge. And they're more crazy.
I think it might be kind of cool if, like, people. Maybe it was someone who's, like, trapped outside during the Purge, and they have, like, they're, like, on the streets, and then it could be, like, the Warriors or something a little bit.
Yeah, that would be cool, but just make that a movie. Like, it doesn't have to be the Purge 2. I don't know, man. I just wasn't a fan. Like, I see what they were trying to do. I get it, you know? And it was a cool idea. Some of the violence in it was pretty cool, too. Like, there were cool moments, but, like, nobody cares about the creepy autistic kid.
The end was the worst.
The ending was just... The last 20 minutes of that movie, I was just watching on fast forward.
Yeah.
Because we didn't give a shit.
Like, the decision that, like, they make is, like, well, you have to move immediately. Like, if you stay in your house for more than an hour, you are an idiot.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Like, you need to move to, like, across the country and, like, never come back.
Yeah, like, what an awkward next day that's going to be. You know, where it's like, hey, you kind of, spoiler alert, but it's like, hey, you kind of, like, betrayed us and tried to murder us all. So we will not be going to your Christmas party.
I want all of my Tupperware back.
Yeah, I would appreciate if you did not walk your dog on our side of the street. Yeah, it was just fucking disappointing.
I feel like the weird, like, autistic son has, like, that weird baby fucking short
car thing.
Oh,
my God, I know. But the thing is, if this movie came out in the 80s, we would be laughing our dicks off at it on an everything action commentary. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just able to, like, see this kind of, like, more objectively, but, like, that's just, like, in 20 years, people are going to look at that movie and be like, this is fucking brutal. Like, I can't believe people watched this shit. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just one of those pieces of technology. And, like, they explain it and, like, they harp on it so much. Like, that was his, like, RC fucking Toy Story toy or whatever.
That, like, he has, like, night vision built into it and, like, all those other
From, like, Sid's room. Like, that thing was totally fucking, like, one guy's idea.
It's Timmy, guys. It's Timmy.
Yeah, it's Timmy. But it was one guy's idea, and he obviously put a lot of money into the movie and was like, no, this needs to make it into the cut, and it needs to be explained, and Timmy needs to be a character of his own.
Yeah, this is important to this
character. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Wait,
One thing about the Purge I didn't figure out is it every year they do a Purge, or, like, once in a while?
It's like, it's just Jesus a 12-hour period every year, and you just, the rich people.
But here's why the Purge doesn't work, Chris. Are you ready for this? They go, okay, once a year for 12 hours or whatever it is, like, just under 12 hours.
All crime is legal.
All crime is legal. But here's the thing. You have a bunch of fucking dough goats that are going out there, and they're like, hey, I hate my boss, so I'm going to kill my boss. And you have people that are like, oh, this, my girlfriend's dad won't let me, like, fucking hang out at the house. So, yeah, he won't, like, consent to my banging her, even though she's always wearing a schoolgirl uniform, which, really? Yeah. Really? Apparently the future is just a fucking hentai, but whatever. So you have all these dummies that are doing these, like, petty crimes and just, like, Latinos, like, beating each other to death in the street. But yet nobody is going to, like, brokerage firms and, like, committing fraud. Like, nobody's doing weird, like,
looting,
land grabbing.
White-collar crimes.
I didn't see any looting or anything like that. Like, why would you go, like, just steal, like, a goddamn, like, sports car or something?
I know, man. First thing I would do is go to the, like, fucking Ferrari or Porsche dealership, like, whatever, steal the most badass car there and the fastest car there, and then the next thing I do is go to a fucking bank or some sort of crazy, like, insurance firm and just go in there and find, like, the weakest, most intimidable person I could possibly find and be like, if you value your life and your family's life, you're going to give me every asset you have right now. And you know what? I'm a good guy. I'm a Christian. I'd be bluffing the whole time. But they don't know that. So the point is...
Yeah,
like,
it's mostly just random murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I feel like if it was just random crime, like, if all crime were legal, that's the first thing I said
when we were watching this movie.
I was like...
It'd probably be more like a street party or something. I mean, just people, like, in the middle of the street just like, yeah, no open container law, man.
Rails
yeah.
Of poke off of the sidewalk and, like... People snorting ecstasy off of, like, Escalades and just, like, spraying bitches with champagne. Like, that's what it would be. It would be, like, fucking Brazil. Like, crazy.
I imagine the first year of the Purge, like, I would love to see the prequel movie where it's just, like, the first year was, like, Purge, and it's, like, no rules, and it's just people partying.
No.
Until the first guy...
Don't even put that out there, because you know they listen to our podcast. Someone's going to hear that and be like, oh, you know what we have to do? We have to show how the new founding fathers came to power. Yep. And then the last line of the movie is, they're just going to have to purge it out.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. It'd be awesome if the new Founding Fathers were the Washingtonians.
Oh.
It would be awesome if the new Founding Fathers were the fucking Baseball Furies. That would be kind of cool. But yeah, so like I said, I can't recommend this movie to anybody. Cool idea, albeit a played out idea. Yeah, it's kind of like the video game Manhunt tried to have drunk sex with the Hunger Games.
Well, if you take out like the future setup storyline stuff,
but is it even the future though? Because honestly, they have like no technology that we don't have
right
now.
It's like weird alternate history.
It's a dystopian future, but it's not even like in
the
future.
It's like 2020 or something, or like 2025.
It's like 2020, and you know what's crazy about this future, guys? The fucking economy's better, and you could kill people once a year. That's basically it. We could do that right now if we wanted to.
The economy is better because we murder poor people.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I don't know. And besides, if you're really going to fucking purge somebody with, like, the precedent that, you know, Obama's setting, like, wouldn't it just be more economical to go buy a cheap drone and just fucking, like, make a hit list, like, the day after the purge? You'd be like, all right, next year, all you motherfuckers are getting droned. I'm going to drone, like, 30 people from the comfort of my own couch.
They mentioned it was, like, level 4 government employees, like, off limits or something. Or immune to, like, the purge.
Yeah, oh, of course, of course. Everyone's going to be purged except we're off limits. Oh, so as much as it changes, it stays the same.
You know, if you want a good Ethan Hawke movie with, like, the same premise, I would say, like, Assault on Precinct 13, the remake, is way better than the purge. It's kind of the exact same thing, like, people trying to break in and then to murder them. And it has Lawrence Fishburne in it, so...
Yeah, and it's yet another movie where Ethan Hawke is just severely under-equipped for the situation that he's in. Like in Sinister, when he tries to basically, like, fight a ghost with alcohol. Yeah. You know? He's like, I know what I'll do to fight it. I'll just get fucking hammered. Like,
and so, like, this is another example of Ethan Hawke as a terrible father.
Yeah, and now in this, it's like, oh, I own a gun. We'll be fine. It's no! No, you won't be fine.
They had a gun in Arsenal.
Trying to break into it. Yeah, but even that, he takes out, like, the pussiest gun. He takes out a little... Chris, he takes out, like, the unknown hints and, like, snub-nosed...
He's got a crazy, like, shotgun with, like, a crazy, like, grip on it and stuff. And, like...
Yeah.
But he goes with just, like, a hooker pistol.
He's got a gator grip shotgun. Yeah. Like, it's just... It's nuts. It's basically a Call of Duty mod. It's like a Call of Duty mod that he has in his house. It's like his panic room, like, with this bat cave, like, bat computer console he's got going on. He's basically equipped like the Punisher, but
he's just like a,
then
he's
he like,
acts a, he's like
a
Weasley
Prince
salesman.
In Purple Rain when it comes down
he's
to
just
it.
He's a Weasley insurance salesman, basically. But he sells security systems to everybody, and, like, buying, he's like going to buy a yacht.
And, like, the big twist, and even though it's not a spoiler, like, the twist is that, like, oh, our house is so secure, and then as soon as people start trying to break in, he's like, you know, I should probably tell you that.
I sell shitty security systems.
Don't even work that well. Yeah. Like, we're pretty much just scamming people, like, buying this shit. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's good.
This isn't even a real gun, it's an airsoft gun.
Yeah. I don't know. If it's on TV, you could watch it. If it's on Netflix, I'd love to do a commentary.
It feels like it's going to be on Netflix, like, with like any day.
It'll any day now. I mean, they just added, oh, God damn it, the John Travolta and Robert De Niro.
Oh, my God.
Movie.
Killing Season
is on
Netflix?
Put that up. Yes, Killing Season
Jesus
is now
Christ,
streaming.
We need to watch
so.
That. Like, immediately.
I think we might have our next commentary lined up. But
that movie is batshit insane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm hoping for that and a Purge double feature, maybe. With an alcohol intermission.
Practice your crazy Serbian accents now.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah, let me do that. My coworkers will enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm John Travolta. I'm doing crazy accents.
I feel like that we're going to go break into freaking gold member like accents. It's so weird, yeah.
Just like replay Grand Theft Auto 4 again.
Ah.
My cousin.
Oh.
So, anything else, Joe, or that's The Purge?
No, that's going to do it for me.
Chris, what did you watch?
I finally saw Raid, The Redemption, yes. Or The Raid Redemption. And you were right. This was, like, the better of the two, like, floor, like,
purging. I like Dread better. Yeah.
Really?
I like Dread better just because it's the character. I like the characters, like, better. And then I like the firefights compared to, like, the martial arts. But, like, yeah, the Raid has, like the Raid is more, like, Dread solves his problems with guns, and the Raid solves it with, like, fists and kicking people.
Yeah, like, everyone is, like, strangely, like, fluid in fighting, you know? Like, that part I was a little okay. Like, at least Dread was... I can see the difference, but in the sense of, like, what I want to see more was kung fu fighting, crazy, like,
Dread's not a hand-to-hand fighter guy.
No. That's one thing this movie's got abundance of.
Yeah.
And it's got intense, like... I do like the build-up of the whole team, and they start losing numbers. Dread was like, hey, it's just the two of us. So, like, it was like a actual raid in the beginning. Then the movie became survival mode. And I think that was the great, like, storytelling, because it was like a different feel to it. Dread, we talked about this, it was just like survival mode, the movie, where it's like, all right, we gotta clear these floors and blow people up and then shoot our way through.
We gotta show these people who the law is. I'm the law.
Meanwhile, but then the ending I liked a lot better in The Raid than I did in Dread, where it didn't get solved by throwing a woman out of a window.
No, it has like... No,
which I saw in the goddamn trailer. Well,
The Raid has like a 20-minute like final battle that is insanity.
Yes.
Where like a guy gets like a fluorescent light tube jammed to his neck and it's spraying blood and he's still fighting.
Yeah, that was cool though. Yeah. It was like really barbaric. It was
and it was like the main bad guy is so badass it takes like two guys to take him on. And they're still like,
oh, he's not even the main, but he's not the main guy. He's the
he's like the mad dog or something. Yeah.
Killer. And the thing is, I remember I saw, like, when The Raid was first in the trailer form, it made it seem like halfway of the movie, the assault team was gonna make it. I didn't expect the first five floors, and they all get, like, massacred, yeah. You know? If you ever see the original trailer, it shows you, like, more tactical, like, running and stuff, and then when I saw the movie, I was like, wow, that kind of went out the window, like, this is definitely, like, about these like main six people and not 6-4. All right, not 4-3. Yeah. You know, like I did like that. And
what about that one, like that fight in the hallway where is that like, I think he's got like double batons.
Oh, he's got one baton and a knife.
Oh my God, that was insanity and awesome.
Oh, it was brutal. It was,
like,
and he's bloody.
Like, he just comes up and like cuts every guy's like all the way up their leg, just like slices their entire like Achilles tendon off. And then, like, I think he ends up with, like, slamming that one guy, like, into, like, the broken door.
Multiple times. Oh, that's the way he does the jump.
The jump
where
slam,
he, like,
yeah.
Pulls the guy through, he pulls the guy through, and he slams him, his head into the frame. So cool. My question was, this is the rookie.
Yeah.
And there's no explanation of why he's this good. Better than, like, half the team. The captain was good up until, you know, his demise, but, like... the hell, like there's the curve of this team is broken where the rookie guy, you know, the cliche move where the rookie guy is magically better than the veteran members of the team, and there's no explanation of this team or any kind of like, hey, it's my first day, or oh, what's my background. So it's very like push you through the door and you have no bonding of any character really, besides hey, this is a guy. He did some pull-ups, and he's got a pregnant wife, and that qualifies him to kick everyone's ass, so this is our hero, you know? Like, if they didn't even show the whole pregnant wife thing, or the workout montage in the morning, or even, like, his weird, like, is like begging thing where it's like, oh, I'm a good cop, you know, like, hey, strange tenant who lives in this like terrible complex. You know what I'm talking about?
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Okay, like, there's a point in the movie where he talks to this one tenant, like, right before they begin the raid. And he's like, oh, like, you need to give medicine to your wife? And then the guy's like, oh, yeah, every cop's an asshole, though. But not you, you're actually a good guy. And he's like, yep, I'm a good cop. Like, I'm an honest cop. Like, there's some weird line like that. I was like, ah, Malaysian films, like, you try to go for weird moral grounds and, like, action movies. But yeah, the violence is the highlight of the movie. The choreography. Thing is, the choreography is so brutally honest of what, like, a knife fight would be if you fought against someone who knows how to wield a knife, not just, like, crazy prison stabs. And, like, some of the stunts, I was like, these people get paid enough to, like, be thrown like that? You know, like, these didn't look like, okay, like, we're gonna digitally affect the wall.
Yeah, it's very, like, if you, like, if you saw, like, the Ung Bak, the first one, and it showed, like, the, like, outtakes and, like, the, just, like, the second, like, just, like, the slow-mo, like, in the actual movie of, like, Tony Jaa, like, kicking someone in the face, and it's, like, that, and then showed again, like, slow motion, it's, like, I think he actually got punched in the face.
It's, like,
falls and, like, hits a car, it's, like, there was no pad there.
These fucking crazy Malaysians, yeah. They just are trying to one-up the classic martial arts, so they'll just do real stunts. And it's great, because you get movies like this. And then I was sad to read that they're going to try to America, some U.S. company bought the rights to it to make a remake?
No, they just, Sony Classics, they released it they bought the distribution rights. So, I think all they did, they added, like, a Mike, was it Mike Shinoda or Mike Patton? I think it was Mike Shinoda. Did like the sound, like a new soundtrack, and then that's all they did. They released it.
I thought they actually have the rights if they ever want to do like an Americanized. Well, it's
distribution version. Rights because like the Raid 2 is coming next year, and they're gonna release it, like Sony Classic is gonna release it here, just like the Raid 1.
Hmm. Well, it makes me more excited for the Raid 2 because now I understand like sort of. Where they're going with the story, because, you know, it wasn't about the building, it was about fights, and
well, now it's great. Now, like, the main guy there is, like, going undercover with, like, this, like, drug cartel.
Yeah, it's brutal, too, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it was definitely super awesome movie. You should go watch, if you want some more crazy, awesome, like, martial arts action, I think it's on Netflix. It's a Bangkok Knockout.
I saw that on Netflix recommended.
Yeah, that one takes a while to get in because it's, like, this awful, like, 20 minutes, like, setup of, like, we're all, like, high school friends and we're like, here for a field trip or something or, like, we're at this party. And it's, like, this, like, super, like, awkward dinner party thing. And then they all get, like, kidnapped, and when they end up in, like, this, like, empty warehouse, and then it's just, like, they, like, fight their way out of the warehouse, and they all happen to be just, like, ridiculous martial arts people.
So it's the most poorly planned hostage, like, victims.
Yeah, but it's just, like, basically, like, once you get past, like, the first 20 minutes, it's just, like, crazy, nonstop, like, warehouse fights. With, like, them, like, jumping down, like, 5 stories to, like, kick some guy in the face and, like, hanging off the bottom of trucks and, like, fighting, like, getting electrocuted, possibly for real, and, like, all this other stuff.
No stunt wires, all real blood.
So, anything else, Chris?
Yeah, I watched Solomon Kane. It was on my to-watch list since 2010.
Yeah, I watched it maybe probably 2 years ago, I think. When it was, like for some reason, like, England got it or something. It was, like, released in England and not here.
Yeah, it was actually came out 2009 abroad. Yeah. And then it's actually, like, it is a foreign movie, but it doesn't look like it. Like, it's very well done. And I don't know, like, I enjoyed it. It was like it's like what Van Helsing should have been. as a like sword and like medieval setting and the whole lore behind it was, I guess, condensed, because I imagine the real story of Solomon Kane is like epically long, and it's great because
Robert E. Howard. So
right, so Conan. And instead of being like a barbarian, it's just some like demon.
But yeah, the Conan
killer.
Mythology is like insanity. So I'm sure.
Oh, is he set in the same era too? Like, is it set in the same universe?
I don't think so. It's just like he wrote it. It doesn't say it's like Hyboria or anything.
No, I'm saying like, does it take place in some sort of different era of the same universe?
I don't think so. I think it's just its own separate thing.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
It's just like he found like Conan's body or something at some point, or like Conan's sword.
Or some sort of treasure from Conan.
The sword of Conan.
Which I wouldn't mind. That'd be cool. Solomon Kane. It's about a guy named Solomon Kane.
Like,
who used to be
the world's only, like, Puritan, like, superhero, kind of.
Yeah, a weird holy avenger like this. And it's great, because I didn't know anything about Solomon Kane up until I saw this. And it's like, oh, he was a pirate, and then he, like, met the devil, or someone, the Reaper, and he decided to become a holy man. So I thought, oh, it'll be like 5-year journey. Maybe it'll be like a quick redemption thing where he goes away for a while. And it's like 1 year later. It's like, wait, what? 1 year? It made it seem like Solomon Kane was like a bloodthirsty like pirate and brutal murderer. Like, you know, he was supposed to be like some sort of really bad guy. And 1 year at church, he's like, okay, I'm good. You know, I was like, wow, this transformation was quick.
Yeah. The express course at the monastery.
Yeah, and then he gets kicked out and goes and tries to go back home. And along the way, it's like, I guess more of his lore comes together, like his hat, his cape, and the cool part, which I gave it props for, was to go a little bit the cliche, like meet some nice people, you know, maybe, hey, I could live this life. But, oh, no, I'm not meant for this life. I need to go back to, like, being... Yeah, the past is catching up with me. I got to rely back to violence. But instead of, like, I got to embrace who I always am, like, to fight, it's like they push the limits. And then he's like, okay, fuck it, I got to kick everyone's ass. And the one thing, again, let me go back. The thing that made me go, yes, was when they kill the annoying kid.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, there's this yuppie, you know, there's that yippy little kid that's idolizing the anti-hero, and he's like, ugh, I don't want to be your friend, and then it's like, okay, now we're friends, and it's like, hey, everything's going great. And the kid's like, help me! And he's like, oh, I'll figure out how to save you. And he doesn't, as a choice. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Because no, not too many movies do that, where the anti-hero who has to go back to his dark ways, you know, has to kick it back into gear real fast. This one, he kind of has to think, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, you're just someone I met like a week ago or less. And the kid dies, and it's like, wow. And, yeah, like, you know, the worst part, though, was thinking was they don't really mourn like anyone else in the family. It's like, go get my daughter. Okay. And then... what about the dead older brother, or the dead younger brother, or the father? You know, like, and he just leaves the mom,
yep.
Like,
in like demon country.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, go get your daughter, and that was cool. Like the whole him trying to find himself and trying to get forgiveness and trying to find reason to live, that was cool. I did like that, and the choreography for sword fights were brutal. The effects were great. The setting was like for a broad movie. I'm not sure if there's an equivalent Hollywood studio in like London or whatever country they filmed this in. So it was like really well done.
Mm-hmm.
The ending's a little weird where it just kind of neatly wraps up. You know, it didn't have like, oh, I'll fight this demon again, or hey, I'm on a second adventure and the movie just ends or something. It just
Solomon Kane will be back.
Solomon Kane, none of that. So I was like, oh, wrapped up neatly. But,
yeah, it was definitely better than the, when they tried to reboot Conan.
Yes. So out of the two stories, this one has a more solid structure and, like, a better origin tale of, like, okay, this is just how it happens, and let's not dwell on certain things. Let's, like, show you the story of how he gets his girl back from the devil.
Yeah, basically.
But I like Conan a little bit, too. The newer one. It wasn't the best Conan movie, but it was, like, entertaining, I think. And the worst part, I think, was this movie, yes, you can see where, like, the high budget went into, because this movie made, like, half its profit back, like, the initial cost. That's why this wasn't, like, an international bestseller. It just, it never came out. Yeah, that's true. Like, it didn't come out anywhere.
When it was first coming out, or like, oh yeah, it's coming out in the U.S. in, like, summer or something, or, like, it's fall, and it's like, no.
Yeah, like, 4 years ago, I saw the trailer and was like, yeah, and then I totally forgot about it, and then it popped up on Netflix, and I was like, oh yeah, I want to see this.
Yeah, because I saw it in, like, college, I think, or, like, last year of college, because, like, they had, like, a DVD rip of it from, like, England.
Yeah, I saw the trailer, and I remember thinking we should see that or something, and I totally didn't.
I bet I could go back on the site and, like, find when we first put the Zombie King trailer up.
Jesus. So, I don't know. I think it might get some money now, but...
it was finally, like, officially released, like, freaking, like, a month ago on DVD here.
Yeah. Really? Oh. That's a good movie, though. It just... There's the weird part. James Purefoy?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, Chris... Chris,
totally forgot he got sword fight.
I put the trailer up on September 15th, 2009.
Jesus. I was still in college.
Yeah, that's my last year of college, so. I'm looking at the poster, too, because I put a poster on the side. It just says, I think it just says coming soon. There's no, like, date on it, like in theaters or anything.
Oh, that's why, like, we saw it and mentioned it, and then just disappeared. But yeah, James Purefoy, like, surprisingly well, you know. I totally forgot he could do, like, sword fights.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a lot of Rome, so I totally forgot that he can do, like, parry pieces.
Yeah, wasn't he in, like, Centurion or something, or one of those?
What's it called? Ironclad. Or it's him and, him and freaking, what's it called? Brian Cox and...
Paul Giamatti,
like,
yeah.
Knights. Paul Giamatti is just fucking being knights.
That was a pretty awesome movie.
He was using a broadsword, actually properly using a broadsword
in that movie. It's like just like chopping people in half with it. Like it wasn't like crazy like duels with it. You're just like using it, but just like chop people in half.
He's kind of like an underrated actor for me because I totally forget he's in things. And then ever since I've watching The Following, I've been noticing him in other movies that I've seen. Like, I totally remember he was in John Carter, but then everyone kind of wants to forget about John Carter. And then I totally remember him in Resident Evil, but he had an American accent. So it's like, And then, yeah, just like, holy shit, when he fights and stuff, it's really great. Like, it's believable. Mm-hmm. And here's the funny part. I looked at Lost Roles. He was supposed to be Bond back in 95. He was like the second or third runner-up, but lost to Pierce Brosnan. He was going to be V for Vendetta, but then just like...
He was one of the dudes who like, didn't want to wear the mask the entire time.
No, he was gonna be the voice and the body double.
Yeah, I know. There's like a bunch of people who were like going to do it, and then like, or like, there's someone in there who like when they first cast it, then, like, he's like, I don't want to wear the mask the entire time. We're like, this mask is hurting my face. So then they got, like, Hugo Weaving in, and he's like, all right, I'll do it.
Oh, well. And then he was going to be the other new James Bond in the Daniel Craig mm-hmm. one. And then just, like, last minute, they're like, yeah, no. I don't know. He could have been a good Bond. I could see him being, like, a rugged Bond, too. But oh, well.
Yeah, James Purefoy, he left V for Vendetta 6 weeks into filming because he had, like, difficulties wearing the mask the entire film.
Wow.
So they got Hugo Weaving to come in. So, anything else, Chris?
No, that's about it.
Didn't you watch Almost Human?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Did you watch both,
like,
episodes?
I forgot. Just the first, like, an hour. One? So the first episode, yeah. I totally forgot I watched that. I always forget that, because I watched it, and I was like, okay,
How could you, how could you forget, Chris? It's Carl Urban.
I don't know, I was busy that day.
One of our favorite people on Earth, Carl Urban.
He just doesn't answer my emails anymore.
Is he on Twitter?
I don't know, but I'm gonna show him my dick pic now. I'm like, hey, Carl, what's up?
Carl Urban!
Stop calling me that! Never!
Yeah, so Almost Human finally debuted on Fox. They had two episodes. They had the pilot on Sunday and then the second episode on Monday. I guess it's going to normally just be on Mondays. I thought it was pretty fun. Like a fun, like, sci-fi cop show.
The weird thing was the rule to always have a robotic partner. It's like, why don't you just have, a squad that is robotic people so you can just send them in without having the human guy to handle, like, his robot thing. Like, isn't being a cop hard enough in the future? Now you gotta be, like, responsible for the really expensive robot.
Well, it seems like they send him in first a lot to, like, clear things out. And they're pretty, like, those robots are pretty expendable, it seems like. Especially, like, Carl Urban just, like, throws one off out of his car.
Yeah, the weird, honest robot that blatantly was... Because,
like, the robots, like, the MXs, in the which are the robotic police officers, they're, like, they're super logical and, like, super, like, follow every single rule, no matter what. Which Carl Urban hates.
But it's like, yeah, but the worst part was, like, between the old model and the new model, why did they make the new model look more evil?
I didn't really get into it, but... Like, because they say there was an, like, so Carl Urban is a detective. It's like Los Angeles in, like, the year 2048, I think. And he's in an ambush, and then he and his partner are, like, need, like, to get, like, help to get out, and then the robots are like, oh, he's, like, one of the robots is like, oh, he's dead already, or he's gonna be dead, so, like, just leave him. So Carl Urban, like, hates these robots now, because they left him to die, basically.
Hmm.
But he gets, like, his leg blown off, and then, like, it's, like, was it, like, a year later, I think, or 2 years later, he's back on the force, and then
I thought it was longer. I thought it was, like, 5 years later, or something like that.
I think they said that it was, like, two, because it said, like, it was, like, 17 months or something, or, like, almost 2 years. But yeah, so it's weird because, like, the world seems, like, super, like, sleek and clean, like Minority Report, but it's also, like, rampant with crime, like RoboCop.
Very two clashing ideologies.
And there's, like, this, like, weird, like, syndicate that's, like, trying to, like, kill, like just pull, I don't know what their plan is, but it seems like they're just, like, kill everyone and, like, blow everything up. Yeah, so basically, like, Carl Urban hates these, like, new robots, and they give him, like, a older robot named Dorian, DRN, but he's Dorian, who has, like, he can, like, replicate emotions, so he's, like, more, he's almost human.
Oh.
And they mentioned, like, that line was like something, because like they're like, they had some sort of like weird, like they had some stupid like tech name for it. It was like synth soul or something. But
yeah, where it's like they made a chip that they could like become adapt to human behavior or yeah. something like that.
But then something like went haywire, so then they made like the new robots with like no emotions.
Yeah, but like the facial structure makes no sense. They give him like little weird tattoos, so it looks even more like evil.
And like weird like hoods, kind of like red like hoods.
Yeah. And it's just like, they look like weird, like, Apple police.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it seemed cool. It seemed, I don't think you ever saw Fringe, right, Chris?
No.
It's,
I get into it one
seems,
day,
it seems just... definitely, it seems like Fringe, but more cop show. So, like, Law and Order meets Fringe or something. Or, where it's like, because, like, definitely seems like the crimes they're going to be, trying to figure out each week in Almost Human is, like, very, very Fringe-esque cases of, like, weird, like, science experiments and, like, other, like, weird tech happening and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The second episode is crazy because it's, like, they, like, it's, like, this, like, whole thing involving, like, sex bots. And, like, there's, like, people, like, harvesting women's skin to, like, put on sex bots. But yeah, and it definitely seems like they had like a season preview at the end of the second episode, and I'm glad it seems like that like Carl Urban's gonna be like a little bit more like happier, because it seems like from the first episode he was just gonna be like just ridiculously grim and mad the entire time,
complaining about his yeah. leg.
But like it's
when do you think like syncing up your leg would be like your top priority besides getting high? Like yeah. wouldn't they be like, oh, I should be okay to bond with my leg?
It's kind of weird. They drop that like immediately in the second episode. Like they're like he and Dorian are like kind of like best friends in the second episode now, and like there's like super like a team. And it seems like is it gonna go on? Is it gonna get like more like there's a part where it looks like a field trip shows up, like the police station with like a bunch of kids, and like Carl Urban's like showing them like gruesome crime photos for some reason. It's like he's like, hey kids, you want to see what we do to bad guys? And he's just like shows the picture of, like this like horrible crime scene. It's like, yeah, he blew his arm off. And the kid's cool. Like, oh my god.
I want to go on that field trip. I don't know what the hell happened.
And they definitely like way more like back and forth in the second episode, like more like banter.
Yeah, they felt like a weird gay couple.
Because the first episode, he's just like, shut the fuck up, you damn robot. But yeah, second episode, they're like way more back and forth, and like there's this like hilarious part where like after they go to like this, because they go to like this like sex robot where like showroom, because like, apparently you just like go buy a sex robot in the future. But yeah, like Dorian's like monitoring like Carl Urban's like heart rate and stuff. He's like, I noticed that, like, he's like, I set you up in an online dating profile because I noticed that your heart rate was like increased when you were in the showroom. Also, your testicles seem to be full to capacity. He's like, and then Calvin's like, don't skim my balls. So I'm definitely going to keep watching it. It seems like a fun show. And so that's it for you, right, Chris?
Yep.
So, yeah, I watched a couple other things. I just want, like I think I mentioned before, but yeah, I finished the first season of Arrow from Netflix, so I'm on to the second season, which is airing right now. Definitely, Marvel needs to, like, just see what they, like, they've been doing with that show and just, like, apply that to, like, their upcoming Netflix shows and possibly even to, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. Because, like, there's so much more comic book stuff going on in Arrow, and, like, all the plots are, like, way more interesting than, like, what happened to Coulson? What the hell is Tahiti? Like the ongoing mysteries of S.H.I.E.L.D. are like not interesting at all. And like Arrow had like his like this really awesome like flashback storyline going on where like it's like Oliver with like Deathstroke and this like other like martial arts lady like on like the island, like stopping terrorists and stuff. Then like it's and the president's like, this conspiracy going on of like trying to, like who's trying to take control of Starling City and like, just all the random crimes happening. Actually, the first season end, like it, the first season ends, and then the first, when the second season begins, it's kind of like the it's very like it reminds me a lot of like the Batman's No Man's Land storyline, because like an earthquake happens and like so like half the city is like now like this like ruins and like there's riots going on and, like people are like homeless and like crime is just like going crazy and like there's like the slum part of Starling City, which is the Glades.
So is it just like DC Universe just loves fucking like blowing like isolating themselves from the world? Because like Batman does it in his series. Now they do it in this series too. Just like, oh, we like to do like the No Man's Land arcs for everyone.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's kind of like it's in this. It's more like this. The slums was affected because someone built like an earthquake bomb. And they stopped one, but they didn't realize there was a second one. So like half like the slum section of Starling City got like destroyed by an earthquake. But then, I mean, they're not cut off from like the country like in like Dark Knight Rises or anything. But I don't know. They mentioned other cities too. Like they mentioned like Bloodhaven and Central City and a bunch of other like DC cities. So it's awesome that they're like trying to like. They're like at least mentioning that, like, and then actually like bringing in like actual characters into the show, like Deadshot, Deathstroke, Black Canary, the League of Assassins, Firebug. Like, so you just like list all these characters that are in it, and then it's like, they're definitely doing that right, and just like the action and everything is it's everything basically everything is like 10 times better than S.H.I.E.L.D., which is super sad considering it's, like, super network, super high, but, like, I think S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, like, the most expensive show on television right now, I think I read. Like, every episode costs, like, a couple of, like millions of dollars each episode to make S.H.I.E.L.D. And they're getting their lunch handed to them by, like, a CW show. And then as far as movies go, I finally saw The Heat. Which, have you seen The Heat yet, Chris? Okay, no. I think Joe saw it. Super hilarious. I think I'd say probably my third favorite comedy of this year, right behind This Is the End and The World's End. Melissa McCarthy is ridiculous in it, and it's basically like a buddy cop movie with classic like buddy cop action movie, action comedy with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. Trying to like stop these like this like drug dealer in Boston. And it's just like it actually has like pretty interesting like action plot going on, but then it just like takes time to like just go on like weird like comedy tangents of like them getting like drunk in this bar for like 20 minutes and it's like because like. They get out the case, so it's like, well, we're going to the bar and I'll get drunk. Or like,
I feel that was in like every trailer was that bar scene.
Well, I mean, it goes on for like a long time. Just like it just ramps up more and more ridiculous. And then like Melissa McCarthy's family is like insane. Like it's like an amped up version of like the fighter like Mark Wahlberg's family with the fighter basically.
They're all yelling each other
and like. Melissa McCarthy's brothers, like one of them is Bill Burr, the other one, and then a couple other people are in it. And they have new girlfriends, and they're like, it's like, that no one knows. It's just like, but they're like voicing their opinions on what they think. And so it's like, who are you? I'm Gina! I've been here. I'm dating this guy. Shut up, Gina! So like, it's just like, and then they also, they like all go with like witness protection together. So like, they're all crammed like this minivan, like going to like this hotel and just like arguing with each other.
So that's who they're trying to do a spinoff movie from?
Yeah, I guess they're doing a spinoff of like the two girlfriends of the brothers.
Oh, I thought it was like the family.
If it was the family, that would be great. And then like if Melissa McCarthy showed up for like a cameo or like a little bit of it, because Michael Rapaport is one of the brothers, and like Bill Burr is one of the brothers, and like I'm trying to remember who the mom was. Like it's, oh, Jane Curtin is the mom. But definitely, I mean, pretty awesome year for Sandra Bullock, I guess. She's had a couple like horrible years, but Gravity and The Heat are both pretty awesome. So,
I mean, she's dealing with either hanging out with George Clooney or hanging out with Melissa McCarthy.
And then also I saw The Conjuring finally too, which I thought was pretty solid. It wasn't like mind blowing, changing the horror genre, but it was just it was a solid horror movie. Like classic, like horror movie. Like it's insane. It's rated R because no one swears. There's like no violence, but it's still rated R for some reason.
For like
because the darkness? Scary. It's too dark. Scary for everyone. It's the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Was it a lot of jump scares or?
I mean, kind of. It was just creepiness. It was just. The entire movie, it was never relented with like the creepiness. It was just like the house that they're in is creepy. Everything that's happening is creepy. Like it's never like not creepy. And it's pretty cool too because it's like it's cool that there's like actual like competent people coming in and like dealing with this like.
So not just like people getting drunk and yelling at doses.
Yeah, it's not like Ethan Hawke like trying to fight a demon with scotch. Although it is Patrick Wilson, so I don't know. But
it's the better man's Ethan Hawke's of Terrible Fathers.
Yeah, it's Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga coming in as Ed and Lorraine Warren, and like just like basically take care of business as like demonologists. It's really cool. Like they're just like super like matter of fact of like, well, we need to record this. We need to get some evidence. We need to go get a priest to do an exorcism. Well, okay. We can't get a priest to do an exorcism right now. We'll do it ourselves. Okay. Done. That'll be like thousands. That'll be like $1,000 or something.
Is this like their when they introduce them, are they like wrapping up or are they just like, okay, this is our first time?
This is like super like at their prime because like they have like one of the awesome things is like they have a room in their house that's just full of like possessed evil objects that like they lock away and like no one should ever touch them. And they kick it off with like this super creepy case they did where it's like these two like college girls had like an apartment together and they had like a doll, and then they thought like this like spirit of this little girl was like trying to talk to them, and then they like let it. They're like, okay, spirit of this girl, you can move into this doll, and then it turns out like the spirit was actually a demon that was like trying to trick them into like possessing them. So now like the Warrens like got the doll and they locked in like this like glass case that says never open. And it's like the creepiest doll you've ever seen in a movie. But yeah, the real like the main case for The Conjuring is like they have to like go to this like farmhouse that this family bought, and there's like I think there's like three different ghosts in there. Like one's like this like kind of like nice just like little kid ghost. But there's like this like evil witch ghost that like murdered her, like had a baby and like immediately murdered it for like Satan.
And then hung herself. Because that's just what you do.
And then just like doors start they find this cellar like blocked off by wood, and they like go in there, and then like awful things are happening. Like the mom of the family like starts getting like bruises. Like every night she gets like a new bruise. And then like the daughter's like getting like pulled out of their beds by like something, and then like There's like doors slamming everywhere. There's like pictures being thrown off the wall. So it's just like typical awful haunting stuff going on. But it's nice because it actually ends with like on a happy note. Unlike every other horror movie ever, was just like they have to do like this like awful like twist at the end of like, oh, we thought everyone was safe, they're all dead. But this one is just like, mission accomplished, guys. Yeah. Let's go to Amityville.
Let's just celebrate. Let's go to this other haunted mansion.
Well, I mean, they set it up as like, we have to go, oh, I got a call about this case that's in like Massachusetts or something. So, which is obviously the Amityville Horror house, which is like the most famous case that Anna Lorraine Warren investigated. So I'd say I would say check it out if you're a horror fan. It's probably one of the best horror movies that came out this year. And then last but not least, I saw Fair Game. Because I had to watch it before House Get Made came out this week. It's one of the rare ones which I've pretty much heard of or seen every single movie they've talked about in How This Get Made, but I've never heard of this one or seen this one yet before.
You've never seen
Nope,
Fair Game?
Not until last week.
I've seen Fair Game.
It is such a like amazingly awful, awesome 90s action movie. Like it's just like every car explodes like with like a million tons of dynamite and like there's like ridiculous shootouts and the plot is like so insane and like really like. I think it came out at the same time like The Net and stuff. So it's like this super like crazy like 90s like computer plot of like the KGB is trying to like hack into like this underwater cable to like hack the internet and like steal Swiss bank accounts or something. And then sure. they're always like hacking into like Cindy Crawford's like credit cards to, like find where they are.
What was she again? She wasn't a cop.
She's a civil lawyer who handles like family divorces.
Wow.
And the only reason they want to murder her is because the case she's dealing with is like apparently like, the husband is working with the KGB and like he's letting them use his like fishing boat / like freighter as like their like headquarters to like hack into like this underwater cable. So she's trying to like seize it in like the divorce that he's having. So if she tried to like get on the boat with like a marshal or something and like take the boat back, then they'd find out they'd find the KGB operation, then they'd be done, I guess. So that's why they're murdering her. So like if in case she ever like wanted to go on the boat, then she would find out what's going on, even though they could probably just like pack it up and like leave within like with like so much time before she even got there.
Or, you know, just get a different
boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's insanity. Like, literally every car in this movie just, like, explodes with, like, by the lightest touch. Like, it's one of those movies where, like, if you, like, crash a car into, like, a telephone pole or something, it would just immediately just explode in, like, a nuclear explosion.
I just remember the train scene was the most weird stunt because I remember watching like the news and it was like Cindy Crawford does her own like tries to do her own train stunt and I was like, oh, this is a stupid idea.
Right, so, like when Billy Baldwin's like driving along like jumps on the like she jumps on the train and then like Billy Baldwin's like, God damn it, I gotta get on this train too.
Mm-hmm. And they just end up boning on the train
after like she punches him in the face like twice and is like, I forget what he says something and it's like. Like, is that all you got? Or, like, is that you done? And then she's just, and it's like, all right, car sex.
I remember that as a kid. I was like, this is so awesome. It's so, that's all you gotta do.
Just punch a guy in the face.
And then you get sex.
Like, there's an amazing, like, I wonder if she did the scene where, like, her apartment explodes and she gets, like, blown out the window. of her apartment, which is like, because they rig her apartment to explode, and she's on her balcony, she's like turning on like the TV, and then when she turns the TV on, it like, explodes, and she gets like thrown like 100 feet outside of her apartment into like the bay. It's like some sort of like marina or something that she lives next to. And it's like the craziest, just like she's like immediately just like gets like blown like a rag doll out of this like off her balcony. And I think the craziest thing to me is that like so this the movie's based on a book, and they also made another movie based on this book called Cobra. The Stallone classic, which I think Cobra is definitely loosely based on this book. I think Fair Game, the movie, is actually based more on the plot that's in the book. Because Stallone put his own, like, Stallone spin on everything, I think.
Well, it was supposed to be, like, the Death Squad, right? Like
Zombie Squad.
Zombie Squad. And then I thought this was, like, a weird, another person on that squad, but apparently not.
No, I think Stallone just looked like the general, like, plot of, like, I gotta protect this girl, and there's people trying to kill her and stuff. And then we fall in love. and also, like Cobra was also supposed to be fucking Beverly Hills Cop.
Really? Because
Beverly Hills Cop was originally a Stallone movie, and then Stallone's like, I want it to be more serious, so they made Cobra instead, and they gave Beverly Hills Cop to Eddie Murphy.
Jesus. Well, because think about like Cobra was he supposed to deal with like a group of killers, and that's why none of the movies deal with those like things like
yeah,
that.
like the villains and everything are completely different. Like. There's no like weird like New World Order in Fair Game.
Yeah.
With like the Night Slasher.
Yeah, that's what.
That's what
I was like,
Night
how
Slasher.
Is there a connection? Like, how is there a connection? They didn't have that at least.
And then it's like a model and not a lawyer that should try to protect. It's just like basically it has like the most bare bones like plot. Like the plots are kind of the same and everything else is different.
It's a guy, a woman, and one of them's a cop. That's like the minimum.
I also love the fact that in Fair Game, like literally every single person that Billy Baldwin talks to gets murdered horribly. Like his cousin gets murdered, and like I'm assuming like the like computer salesman nerd that like Cindy Crawford like seduces to like be able to use his computer like is murdered probably by the KGB. Like, all of Billy Baldwin's cop friends are murdered horribly. FBI, like, apparently, I'm assuming, like, FBI agents, they got murdered. And it's also weird, because, like, the villains are, like, they seem like they should be, like, a Die Hard movie or something. Because, like, they're KGB bank robbers, basically. And it's kind of, like, I think... I'm trying to think when this came out, because I think Die Hard with a Vengeance came out in, like, what, 93? Or something like that, probably?
Around there.
Yeah.
Around there.
Because Fair Game came out in 95, so it feels like they're trying to do, like, a Die Hard with a Vengeance sort of, like, thing.
No, I think Die Hard with a Vengeance came out in 96.
I feel like it was earlier, but... Oh, 94? Same year.
95?
Yeah.
Jesus, it was like competing against like domestic terrorism.
But it's got like I think it definitely like Fair Game is definitely some like stupid fun. Like I love the car chase on like the Florida interstate where like Cindy Crawford's driving the tow truck and like Billy Baldwin's in the back in like the station wagon, and then they finally like whip the station wagon like on fire. It's like when the like Russians like. SUVs and blows it up. But I just started listening to the High School Made episode. They bring up the awesome point of like, why does it take them so long to figure out that like they shouldn't use their credit cards to like pay for things? Because like they go to like the safe house, the police safe house, and like Cindy Crawford like buys pizza because she's a pizza account at like this pizza place. and they have her credit card on file, so that's how they know, like, that's why they know, like, where she is, like, they look up this, like, pizza account and, like, track her to the safe house, and then they go, like, when a safe house is, like, taken, like, blown up by, the KGB, they go to, like, this hotel, and they pay for the hotel room with a credit card.
So this movie was just like anti-internet propaganda, probably.
Oh, it's just like computers, just like anything that you need to like explain or like what like anything you need to do, like it's computers. Like you need to know where the car is, computers. You need to know where the person is, computers. You need to know where this house is, computers. and they just have like this like a computer guy in their car the entire time with like just. Like 24/7, just on the computer, just like hacking everything.
Before like wireless internet was popular.
Yeah. They pull those things, you know, like they look up Cindy Crawford's address, and then like they're able to like zoom in with like satellites and like get like a pitch, like a awful like JPEG image of like her front of her house, and they're like, that's her house. And they like track like Billy Baldwin's station wagon with like. Because he has, like, a car, like a low-jack car tracker, like, a car theft system on it. So they hack into, like, his car theft system to track it.
Jesus. I always saw the movie, like, twice, so... I just remember the train sex was something, like, really memorable for me.
It definitely... If it ever shows up on Netflix, I mean, I think we should definitely... do something with it.
I think that was like Cindy Crawford's like only movie.
Pretty much. It was like, oh man. It was like that weird, like, weird mid-90s where like, you could, if you were like famous enough, you could just be in a movie. Like Shaq.
Yep.
Or,
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Deion Sanders. I don't know.
Dennis Rodman.
Yep. Fabio. Fabio, they gave Fabio a show, though, not a movie, really.
What did he do in that show?
Well, Acapulco Heat.
Oh, he was in Acapulco
Heat? Yeah, it was like Acapulco Heat, and it was like, and featuring Fabio.
I remember Joe watched a lot of Acapulco Heat, not me, so I totally forgot he was in it. But,
it was like weird, like models totally. It's like they're models, but they're also like spies or something, or like security.
No, they were like hotel workers or something.
But they're also like this like international task. They're like this like weird task force, crime task force that drove around like powerboats and like stopped like island terrorists
who just vacationed a lot.
It was basically the precursor to like Hawaii Five-O
or VIP. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's it for me. So I think we can probably wrap this thing up for the week, unless there's anything else you're thinking of, Chris, we need to talk about.
No, I think we're good for today.
All right, so if you want more from us, you can go to everythingaction.com. All sorts of stuff are up there. Facebook.com/everythingaction. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. All sorts of stuff on there. Oh, I don't know if you saw it, but did you see the... I'm sure you saw the Jean-Claude Van Damme split video, Chris.
Yep.
The amazing, like, Volvo semi-truck test where Van Damme just does a split on top of two moving semi-trucks.
Yeah, the one that's blatantly green-screened, but they just go with it.
It's one shot, Chris. How can it be green-screened? I'm sure Van Damme did that.
Totally believable.
Mm-hmm. Then... find us on iTunes by searching for us. You can get our app and podcast on there. Email us at content@everythingaction.com. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.